1 Corinthians chapter 10. Again, want to thank all of you for your words of encouragement and prayers as we have making the transition to our home. And we are looking forward to getting settled in here in the next, I would say several days, but I think I'm going to just go ahead and say several weeks, just to be honest, because it just is that type of thing. But I am thankful to get our roots planted. You know, Joanna reminded me a couple weeks ago. She's like, honey, you realize, you know, this is going to be our opportunity. It's going to be a blessing to be in one place for a long time. I said, amen. She said, do you realize that over since we've been married about 10 years. And, you know, from the time we were married while I was in Bible college, so we lived in a place there for, you know, a year and a half, two. Then we're on deputation. We lived at a place where my mom was in Greenwood. And then on the field, once God got us to the field, we were in three different locations there just because of the way housing is set up. From there, when we come back on furlough, of course, we'd only be there for about a year. And then coming back to the States, when God led us back, we were in a home in Greenwood. We rented a place for about a year before the Lord called us here, and then we were at that house for about a year. So over the past 10 years, we have not been in the same house more than a month and a half. A year and a half. That'd be really bad. That would be really bad. I would be a Touareg then, nomadic all the way. But a year and a half is the longest we've been able to stay. So, boy, this one, we're hoping for the long haul to be in this house. And praise the Lord. Appreciate your prayers there. We do hope. I'm not going to give a date here because I'd be in big trouble if I did. But we do want to open up our home to everyone. We'll have some day where we can have an open house or something and just want you folks to come over. I have a philosophy about that. And different pastors are different with this. And I respect both views. And it is a place where you can have a refuge and the privacy of your home is great. But I'll tell you what my philosophy is. I want my house to be open to you folks to come in over any time and just the fellowship, to come and have meals with us, to hang out. And that's where I want our home to be. I want it to be your home as well, to a place that we can laugh together, pray together, cry together, and just be able to enjoy fellowship together in the name of the Lord. Amen. And just want y'all to know that and praise God for it. Tonight, you know, this message is going to lead into our communion, the Lord's table. And just a couple of thoughts I feel like the Lord would like me to share concerning this great blessing and privilege of remembering our Lord's death. If you will look with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'll begin reading in verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16. The Bible says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" With the Lord's help, I'd like to bring a message to you tonight entitled this: "You cannot eat from both tables." Let's pray. Father, I do want to thank you for the Word of God. I thank you for your people here tonight. It's just, Lord, it just does something to my heart to see all the people here tonight. from this Sunday night service, I'm sure they could have thought of some other things to do or some other places to be. But Lord, by Your grace, they've made a decision to be here. And I just want to thank You for that, Father. And Lord, I do pray that tonight as we have this such special time, a really an uplifting time. Some look at it as a sad time, but Lord, we don't need to be sad because, Lord, You've given us great victory through the cross. And we rejoice in that, but Lord, we do want to remember with great reverence. And we want to remember, Lord, what You did for us. And so would You help us now as we look to do this in a way that honors You and is led completely by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we'll thank You for what You do even in this time together. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You can't eat at both tables. That's what Paul is telling the Corinthians here. They wanted to eat at two tables, you see. Some were new believers. Some perhaps were still newly saved in Christ. But whatever the case be, Paul is telling these Corinthians, giving them some instruction that, look, there are some of you who are seeking to ride the fence when it comes to your worship of the Lord, and especially when it comes to communion. He said, you're trying to do both. You're going into the idol temples, and you're trying to partake of that mess, and you're still trying to come together with the brethren and take part of the communion. And he said, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to work. You know, just for sake of illustration, it's not the best analogy in the world, but you'll get the point. Today, I had the great privilege, following this morning service, had the great privilege of eating at one of my favorite places of all time. And I had that great opportunity to take my wife and children, and you've probably guessed by now, yes, we got to go to the Red House. It's one of my favorites. I like it. They do well there. They cook really good food, and some of my favorites, one of my favorite things there are their fried green tomatoes. It's good. And they got good things. And they got several buffets, if you will, or tables set with different types of food. Well, as you walk in, those of you that have been there, you look over to the right, and that's where your tables with food are on, the buffets, if you will, and then all the tables over here. Well, we're going to go over there and just use the buffets. We're going to call them tables for illustration's sake. There are two of those tables that are filled with some of my favorites. And may I remind you, the least healthy for me, okay? And they're very bad for me, like just all, basically all your fried foods, okay? But they're so good, all right? And you got the fried chicken, you got the fried green tomatoes, you got the fried fish, you got the fried livers. And boy, those fried livers are really good. Who of you like fried livers? Amen. I'm in great company. So you got all that, and then you go over to the next one, and you know it gets a little better because they start moving into the vegetables. But when you look in the vegetables, you can see the beautiful scene of bacon grease floating around in the vegetables. So you know you're not really getting good healthy vegetables there either. They've been saturating in grease all day. And they have the different ones set up. But then you have the third table. The one I did not visit today. That is the salad table. I didn't go to the salad table, although I may have. Did I go to the salad table to get tartar sauce? No, I didn't. They had it on the other table, okay? So I looked at that table several times. I saw the fresh lettuce and the fresh vegetables that they had cut up and the different things of that nature. And I just did not frequent that table, okay? I will when I'm on a diet, but I'm not on a diet, okay? But anyway, you know, there's a truth there that honestly I say that when I'm not on a diet. But if I was trying to lose weight, if I was trying to shed the pounds at a great pace, there are two tables that I should not frequent in there if I want to lose weight. Those were those tables with all the fried foods and all the vegetables that had been soaking in bacon grease for the longest period of time. But there would be a table that would be fit just right for me. It would be that table with that fresh salad, those fresh vegetables cut up, and the different array of things that are, I guess, would be more healthy. And the truth is, I would have to pick one or the other. Now, I know that's a little bit of a silly analogy, but you know what? That's what Paul is saying here to these Corinthian believers when it comes to spiritual things. He said, church, you're going to have to decide on what table you're going to go to. He said, you can't do both. You can't keep going to the same old tables, to the temples and to the idols and partaking of those things and then come together with the Lord's Supper. It just will not happen. He says here, as we see there, look there in verse number 19. He talks about the idols there. And then in verse 20, he goes on to say, but I say that the things with the Gentile sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye would have fellowship with the devils. And this is what he says, verse 21. You cannot drink of the cup of the Lord, which we will be doing tonight, and the cup of devils. That was going to the temples. That was participating in those things that were anti-God. They were participating in those things. He says, you can't do both. And he goes on to say, you cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And then it says, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? By the way, the Lord does get jealous. He is a jealous God, and He does not want us taking part of both. So I bring out this point tonight, just like Paul would tell these Corinthians, listen, you come to the Lord's table, you come with single-mindedness. You come with a single-mindedness toward Christ. He's your satisfaction. He's enough. You're not getting of the world. You're not getting of these idols that you used to partake in, these things that you used to enjoy, and which are of the devil, because that's what that they're empowered by Satan himself, these idols. And he says, you can't do that. You got to make your focus upon the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're going to do tonight here in just a few moments. We're going to have a singleness of heart towards Calvary, a focus upon what the Lord did for us by shedding His precious blood, the agony that He experienced on our behalf. You know, there was a temptation. Just it hasn't changed because the human nature has not changed. But in our today, what would this look like, these Corinthians? Well, it would be those believers that leave the church on Sunday and they go out into the world and they are contaminated and they indulge in the things of the world, listening to music that they know defiles the temple, the mind of the Christian. They know it takes it places where it shouldn't. They go and they view things on television or the computer screen or wherever it may be that are going to defile them and lead their mind and their footsteps in places they shouldn't be going. It goes on. And they partake in those things. And then what would happen is they'd come back into the church house and say, okay, let's take the Lord's table. And it would be a continuous cycle. And folks, that's not pleasing to the Lord. Now again, what is the qualification to take of the Lord's table? It says, all right, that we've been cleansed, all right, that we've been washed by the blood of Christ. That means you're saved. Doesn't mean a life of perfection. But get this, the problem was, what he wasn't saying, now listen, it's not the problem that you're saved, but what they were trying to do is they were trying to openly do both. Take your Bibles over with me to the two chapters back to chapter 8. They were openly trying to do both, and Paul was trying to stress to them, look, church, you're not doing the cause of Christ any good by trying to eat from both tables. You're hurting and hindering the cause of Christ. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, and look at verse 1. Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know, now get this, we know that we all have knowledge, and knowledge puffeth up. Okay, and charity edifieth. So he's going to go down, he's going to give a lesson here, and for the sake of time, it goes down talking about how idols are stumbling blocks and different whatnot. But go to verse 10. It says here, for if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple. In other words, Mr. Joe goes into the temple and there you sit, who is a born again, knows Jesus, and you're partaking in these things, look what it says. Shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? You see here what he was going with. He's like, look, church, you got to guard your testimony. You can't just be one person at the Lord's table and then go out into the world and live for the devils and enjoy the things of the devils. Because look what he's saying here. It's going to hinder the cause of Christ. It's going to cause other brothers and sisters to stumble. So Paul's saying, look, when you come together to the Lord's table, there needs to be a sold-outness, 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ. Does not mean perfection. Paul does not teach that. Every single person in this room will leave this church tonight and in some way, probably will sin in some way, but most definitely throughout this week. But the difference is what you're purposing to do in your heart. That's the difference. So if you're sitting in this room tonight and you have no purpose to leave this church tonight and live for Jesus Christ, I believe according to the authority of Scripture that you probably would want to withhold from taking of the Lord's Supper, that you not drink it unworthily. But if you have a purpose in your heart to let God renew you and revive you and have your sins confessed unto the Lord, and you do have a purpose in your heart, and God knows your heart, and you have a purpose in your heart to leave this church tonight and live for Christ with all of your heart this week by the grace of God, hey, that's exactly what God wants us to do as we remember His death. Let me read another passage and then we'll partake together. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 verses 9 through 11. This is what the Lord is wanting us and desiring His people to be as they think about the Lord's Supper and as they come to the supper and remember the Lord's death. Look what Peter says here. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. In verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. That's the will of God for us, church. Always, but especially as we enter into the Lord's table, may we remember the significance of the Lord's table. Now again, it is an ordinance given by the Lord God Himself, the Lord Jesus. He gave the two ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And that's what we're doing. We're fulfilling that command. It adds nothing to our salvation. It does nothing to our salvation. Not one thing. It doesn't take away from our salvation. It doesn't add unto our salvation. But what it does, it helps us to remember Calvary. And boy, not only does it have a remembrance to it, but it has a revival to it. And I'm so thankful that we can do this quarterly. We make plans to do this the fifth Sunday of every month. And there's no certain command that you have to do it every Sunday or quarterly. It's really up to the local church. But it is often as ye do, as the Word of God says, we are going to remember the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, as the instruments will be played here in just a minute, new musicians will come. I want to just have a short time of invitation. Perhaps the Holy Spirit has spoken to you in some way tonight. And we're just going to have a time of invitation, whether you spend that right there in your pew, or if you decide to come to an altar and spend some time with the Lord. And however that may be, we'll let the Lord have His way. And in just a moment, I'm going to have prayer, and let's just spend maybe a minute in this invitation time for us to go to the Lord, and then we'll partake together. Father, I do want to thank You. I pray You'd bless during this invitation time, Lord, where we can be real honest before You. Lord, search us and know us as we are preparing to partake in this wonderful ordinance that You have given, Lord Jesus. I pray that You would have Your will and way. Search us, O God, and know us and see if there be any wicked way in us. And, O God, lead us. Lead us into Thy way everlasting. For I do ask in Jesus' name.